Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I grew up in Auburn, Washington, South King County. Many of you have heard me say that before. I grew up in a neighborhood that I realized later on in life, much later, I think I was almost 30, was filled with racism. But you never would have guessed it if you had looked at my little cluster of friends. It was a diverse group. Friends whose parents were from Japan and Vietnam, and Thailand and Korea, African American, Caucasian, Mexican. But if I stop and look back on it, my friend from Vietnam, one of his favorite things to do when he would get angry with someone was to call them the N-word. It didn't matter if it was me or someone else. And some of my Caucasian friends, one of the things they liked to do for a laugh was to put their fingers in the corner of their eye and pull it out and make them slanted. And I think you can tell where that was going. And if I look back on it, I realize that the parents of my African-American friends never let their kids play at the Korean kids' homes. And I remember the adults complaining when the immigrants started to show up from Eastern Europe because they didn't speak English. And apparently they didn't count as white unless they did. And if I look back at it, and if I'm terribly honest with myself, the most obvious and awful part of it was that all of us, in all of our diversity, worked really hard and did a really good job at never speaking to the local American Indian tribe, the Muckleshoots. And if I'm brutally honest with you, we had some awful nicknames that we used for them. And I'm not going to share them with you, because I'm embarrassed by them. And I can't believe that I used them for so many years. But none of us burnt crosses. None of us ever hung a noose in a tree. And the racism of my hometown and my home neighborhood was more subtle than that, and more insidious than that, which is why no one ever talked about it, which is why it lasted. It's 2015, which means the Civil War ended 150 years ago. And obviously our nation has made tremendous strides since then. I don't think anyone could argue against that. It'd be foolish to argue against that. We've got a lot to go. There's still a lot left to do. I assume you heard about Charleston, South Carolina this past week? And the shooting? In a house of worship? A church? 9 people are dead after gathering together in Christ's name. Gathering for prayer and worship and fellowship. Gathering not that differently than how we are gathering right now. 9 people are dead. 3 of them were pastors. 2 of those 3 were graduates of an ELCA seminary. The Lutheran Seminary at Southern, in Columbia, South Carolina. And I don't know what to call the person who did it. But officially, he's on the roster of an ELCA church in a nearby town. Though I have a hunch he wasn't that active. Is anyone else just sick of it? I'm seeing nods, and that makes me happy, because I am too. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick about seeing the latest shooting here, or there, or everywhere. I am sick of pointless violence and hatred. I know some people say keep politics out of the pulpit. Well, one, I'm not in the pulpit, so ha. But two, it's not politics. And three, even if it was, read the words of Christ sometime. He made it really, 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 really clear that faith is not an indoor activity. Faith is not something that you do on a Sunday morning for an hour, hour and a half, and then you set it aside and you don't think about it the rest of your life. Faith is your life. Faith is something that permeates every fiber of your being from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, and it's still there while you're asleep. And you live it, and you walk it, and you breathe it, and you wrestle with it, and it is intimately and inextricably connected to our lives. That killer who did that, I don't even know what word to use. I don't know the words that I want to use that I can use in this room. He was brought up in a culture where today, if we were in Charleston right now, the U.S. and South Carolina flags are sitting at half-mast. And the flag of the Confederacy still flies high and proud at the top of its flagpole at the state capitol. Padlocked, did you know that? So that no one can lower it. The state where the first shots of the Civil War were fired. Did you know the Declaration of Secession by South Carolina? Do you know what it said in there? No, you don't. It's a trick question. It specifically listed that the reason they were seceding was to maintain the institution of slavery. Not states' rights, not whatever else someone wants to throw now. It says it in black and white in the Declaration of Secession. That's why they were leaving. We're afraid that you will take slavery away from us. It was, quote, the bedrock of our culture. 9 people were murdered in a church, and the flag revered by the one who killed them as a symbol of racial superiority is flying high and proud at the state capitol of that same place. That's messed up. I don't know how you vote. No offense, I don't care. That's not my job to know or to change. But can we agree that's messed up? It's just so wrong. And then some people actually wonder where this kid picked up his hate. He didn't have to pick it up anywhere in particular. But it's not just a Southern problem. As much fun as it is to try and put it down there and box it off. Because I think back to that same hometown of mine. And all that racial junk in my childhood, and it wouldn't have taken much for it to look similar. In fact, and I have never told anyone this, I don't know if I've even told Sarah this. I know I never told my parents. So Mom, when you're listening to this recording later, sit down. But 20 years ago, I walked into the office of my high school to tell one of the administrators that I had overheard a classmate talking about having a gun in his locker because he was, quote, going to take care of the blacks. And there was no incident. And I don't know what they did after that. I looked back in my annual last night thinking about this and realized he did graduate with me. So I don't know where it went from there. I never will. So I guess maybe there was a victory of sorts. But at the same time, by not talking about it with my parents or with my friends or with anyone else, by not shining a light on the ugly and just letting it be there, In some ways, I just helped kick that can further down the road. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither free nor slave. For all are one together in Christ. It's Father's Day. And Sarah asked me what I want for it. You know what I want for it? I want a world where this kind of pointless hatred and bigotry and violence I'm just done with. I want a world where that speech that some of you got to hear by Martin Luther King Jr. years ago, I Have a Dream. I want a world where that actually is true and not just a beautiful idea. But I know she can't give me that, although she is pretty awesome. She nodded when I said that. She's in the back, so none of you saw that. So instead, what I want is this. I just want us nice Christian people, unquote, to try actually talking about these not nice things. Just like we've learned to be open here about the hard process that we are going through in terms of learning how to reboot ourselves. How to let go of some things and move into a new space, find new ways to be, reinvent ourselves. That's a hard conversation, and we've done really good about talking. I've told you before how proud I am of you and your willingness to be open and honest with each other. And that's what I wish and hope that all of us nice Christian people would do on some of these ugly topics too. Let's just be honest. Just admit to our own ugly bits. There's this song from this musical called Avenue Q. Everybody's a little bit racist. It's a comedy, believe it or not. Maybe that's true, I don't know. But I do know this, not everybody's willing to talk about it. And maybe we'd all be better off if we tried. Because if there is one thing that I have figured out in my almost 38 years on this planet, it's that not talking about it has not gotten us anywhere. Let us pray. We ask you, O holy, good, and gracious God, to bless our sisters and brothers in Charleston, to be with all of those who have suffered violence. We ask you to be with this nation of ours as it continues to grow into its promise, into its potential. We ask you to help our leaders to be calm and yet capable of leading us through change. We ask you to give us all the strength just to be honest with ourselves and with each other, to challenge things that we have always held dear or just taken for granted, and to be willing to live more faithfully and truly into the promise we have that in Christ we are all one, and that we would actually live in ways that show and reflect that. We pray this trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.